What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
That's always the best part of the show, Jackson, to hear what the listeners have to say. There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspectives. Absolutely,
so stay tuned.
According to estimates, about 13.5% of the African population has access to the internet. The majority of the users are relatively young and tech savvy. They use the internet to connect to the outside world, access information, and communicate with others. But one of the most common uses for the internet is to start new relationships, make friends, and meet people in and outside their community. Experts say that when it comes to looking for love, young people around the world, and this is not limited just to Africa, are turning to the internet. It is one of the many benefits of this relatively new medium of communication. The internet makes it easy for us to connect instantly with friends and strangers alike. One tech expert that I spoke with in Nairobi say that internet cafes in the evenings are often filled with young people looking for love and other types of relationships. Of course, there are many others who do other things on the internet, like study, research, and other things, but looking for relationships or finding love is one of the most common uses. And so many young people have found friends, and in other cases find love if they are lucky, and it leads to relationships. Some of those relationships are committed relationships, girlfriend, boyfriend, some get married. On the show today, we want to find out if the internet has affected how we relate to each other, our relationships. Have you used the internet to find a friend or get into a romantic relationship? And how is it different from connecting with a person in real life? This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
My name is Noah Mukwenjera, Blantyre, Malawi. Many people in our city go online looking for friendship because it's cheaper. It doesn't involve anything. For example, it doesn't cost anything. You just have to log in your computer and you have to search for your friends or anyone whom you know or whom you doesn't know. As for me, I have friends whom I made online through Facebook, Twitter.
I'm Oyamba Jim, Blantyre, Malawi. I think it's just a matter of pleasure, you know, it's like a fashion. Of course, I tried once looking for love on the internet, but at the end, I just feel like, you know, it's not good loving someone who a non-person, you know. Then I just realized that it's just a matter of wasting time.
Tiami Kanibanda from Malawi, Blantyre. No, I didn't look for love on the internet, but my friends, they wanted to date a guy from their Facebook. At the end, they dated the old man they didn't know because of the pictures. They put young guy pictures on the internet. So they go out for a date. They find out the man is old like a father, you know. So, yeah, it was an embarrassment to see an old man and you think about it's a young guy, you know.
I think internet has affected the relationships between people in many ways. Sometimes it sounds that some people are dedicated, for example, to Facebook, and they become, for example, the married people become isolated.
Selector DJ Henson.
Everybody. Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg and Jackson Vungani is in Washington, D.C. Now, today on the show, we talk relationships in the era of the internet. For centuries, people have met in person via friends or through sports circles or art classes or at book club or at clubs or pubs, etc. But the internet has changed all that. It's changed the way we communicate. It's provided a whole new medium through which we can engage. And it's really been an alternative way to meet and to socialize. It's opened up a whole new sector of society and really the way that we engage with each other. We can now also meet people online via dating clubs, for example, but also through the various social networks where it's possibly interest groups that are getting together and to just to chat about whatever their interests are. I think we all know someone or a couple who's met via the internet and who've actually got married after just making that first contact via the internet. But the question is, how sustainable are relationships born out of online encounters? That is one of the questions we're asking today.
Right, Nadia, the internet has been an interesting medium that is ever expanding in our use of it. It started off as a platform for research and education, but it has over time become one of the primary meeting points for strangers looking for love and other forms of relationships. So, it has essentially transformed human relationships. Many say that it is taking over from our physical social commitments to those around us. Takia and Olu are young students here in the Washington, D.C. area. They both say that the internet is indeed an alternative medium for meeting people.
I think it's made our communication skills bad. Emotion and relationship have, like, somebody can break up with you through a text message. I'm just saying. Mm. And then on top of that,
most likely the person you met online too. All right.
And there's nothing left to the imagination either.
So it's okay if you met somebody online that break up with you online. Makes sense.
I think it just makes interaction so informal. Whereas if I'm seeing you now, I can't avoid you. It's like I see you at work or something. Right. I have to interact with you. You have no choice. I'm going to turn around in the hallway. Whereas online, it's like, oh, I'm not online. I'm invisible on Skype. My Facebook isn't activated. Right. I can just say, oh, I wasn't even online. There's no form of accountability anymore. You just kind of, yeah, everything is so informal.
That's,
exactly.
That's very interesting. There's no form of accountability
for your
to people, for your friendship.
You just so do whatever you want to do.
You can hide behind the platform.
Do whatever
and say
you
I
want.
Wasn't there.
I didn't have internet. It wasn't connected. I just haven't been using the computer. And it's a complete lie. You were there the entire time.
You could really avoid somebody.
Yeah.
Are there people who, has it also created a class of people who just are not even willing, that become so lazy to go and meet people physically that, you know, just spend their time on the internet and that's their only place where they will seek out relationships?
I believe so. There's a lot of internet celebrities. That's what I think.
Okay, so let's talk about dating. There are people who say that boys are less inclined to stay in committed relationships now because it's easier to find people online, to find people to date online.
But it's not even just to find people. I think it's just the fact that you can get away with whatever you're doing. It's not only through your cell phone. If you decide that you want to cheat on your girlfriend, there's so many different avenues that you can take in order to do that and just to interact with other people around you. You can go on Facebook. You can meet someone just on any different social media thing you can use. And your girlfriend or boyfriend will have no idea what you're doing because they only see what is in front of them. Unless you're the crazy type who's going through your cell phone and trying to read your emails. Like, they're going to have no idea.
To see passwords and stuff.
Yeah, it just gives people more of an avenue to explore in that sense. But it's a good and a bad thing, yeah.
So what are the advantages then of this platform in terms of our social lives?
I mean, I just think it's cool how your life is just not contained to what is physically around you. There's so many different things, like different circles that connect you. It's kind of like on LinkedIn when you see how far removed you are from someone. That's the connecting factor. It's like, oh, we have three mutual friends and I would have never known that or something of that sort. Those are the advantages, but there's so many disadvantages to that too. It's just, you just start to, I don't know, just conceptualize in a very strange way. Everything is so much more accessible than it was before in the past. And I think it's so tempting to people just to stay in the world of the online instead of actually going to meet people. So,
Have you seen somebody online that you know personally and it gives you a very different What are you laughing at? Talk to me.
Just this afternoon, we were talking to someone else we're working with, and I told him, hey, you should make a Christian Mingle profile. Literally, he opens the page, and I see my friend is on the front page of Christian Mingle. And I said, Carrie, you're on Christian Mingle. And it's just so funny because people just, like I said,
they did not know?
They didn't know. I mean, you literally put in Christian Mingle, and my friend's picture came up, and I said, oh my God. I didn't even know what to say.
Awkward.
Yeah, so strange. So
wait, so they did not know they were on Christian Mingle? Somebody put them
on? No, they are on Christian Mingle, but I mean, you wouldn't expect
their picture. You were just proposing it.
Yeah, as the first thing to come up. So it was so amusing.
What is Christian Mingle?
A dating website.
Yes, for Christians. Yes. So we can all meet and interact and all that jazz. See, now
I knew as we take away layers and layers in this conversation, that things will come up that, you know, at first you're a little hesitant to reveal. Now, there's a platform called Christian. Are you on Christian Mingle?
You know, I'm actually not. I'm not.
Have you been tempted to be on Christian Mingle?
No, because I want to stay alive. I mean, no, it doesn't matter if you're Christian. People have different.
So you know friends who are
on
Christian Mingle?
Yeah, a lot of people at our church actually use Christian Mingle. So I said, I mean, that's great. It's not for me.
For dating purposes or just, you know?
For dating purposes. I mean, they want to get married. So why even go through the process of dating regular people when you can just find specific people who you know have the same religious background as you and then from there.
What other sites are there that like Christian Mingle?
Or there's Grindr. I think that's for like LGBT interaction.
Okay. All right.
And they got Black People Meet.
Black people. Okay.
They do.
That's blackpeoplemeet.com?
Yes.
All right. Are you on that?
No, sir.
No, so
no dating websites for me.
Okay. Why? Because of age or just as a personal choice?
I don't think I'm there yet. I don't think I need a dating website just yet.
You feel like you have a vibrant social life.
Yes.
Enough. You have enough solicitation in the real life to not
to stay away from that.
That's interesting. So Christian Mingle sounds like a very interesting website that you should have brought up in the very beginning of the conversation, but you snack it in.
No, I mean, I don't know.
But so you have friends who are on Christian Mingle. Yeah. How do they go about it?
You meet people. It's kind of like how you have your Facebook profile. You just tell people the things about you, and then I think it comes up people who are compatible with you, and you see the things that link you together, and then from there you connect. But even then, I mean, you can still be Christian or be from two completely different like religious spheres, so it's not 100%. So
okay, in not 100% trustworthy.
Well, not even that. It's just I mean, you have to be careful. For example, someone who's Pentecostal is Christian, as is someone who is Catholic. But those are two completely different forms of Christianity, though.
Right.
So you can't expect just because I'm Christian, we're gonna get along. It's much more complex.
You would rather that there's Catholic Mingle and then
Well, no, not even that. Just I mean, people prescribe to different faiths. That's what Christianity is, but just on I'm gonna find the Christian husband of my dreams. It's like, no, honestly.
Are there any of your friends that have found Christian husbands of their dreams?
I think not husbands, but a couple of dates. Yeah,
right.
My friend is actually dating someone that I think he found on the one I saw on the website. Who's dating someone who he found on Christian Mingle? But I mean, they're in a completely different age category. My friends who use it, they're about 29 or above. So DC is the city of very young people. It's a transient city. So when you're in a stage where you actually want to settle down, finding people who are just into what you're doing, for people in their age category, it's very difficult for them. Even the church I go to, I mean, people are 25 and they think they're old. Imagine someone who's 30 or someone who's 36. I think finding someone for them is so difficult. But then you have this thing that tells you the person's age. You don't have to search, or people can't manipulate anything. Oh, they can't, actually. You can say that you're 30 years old and you're 40. But it's all listed there for you. It just makes it so much easier for them because they don't want to go to bars or do things like that. Who knows? So.
She's about to earn some bragging rights. I'm about to give it up like I've been holding back all night. Girl, take pride in what you wanna do, even if that means a new man every night inside of you. Well, baby, I don't mind. You can tell by how I roll. Cause my click hard and my cup cold, my tongue slurred cause I'm so throat. I'm whipping sweat from my last show. He's TG and I'm X, so I'm only here for one night. Then I'ma be a memory, see it in my ears, so I can hear what you say to me. I got cups full of that rosé. Smoke anything that's past me. Don't worry about my voice. guess I won't need it for what I'm about to do to you.
So on the show today, we also have Maya Dawit, a student at the University of Maryland here in College Park. And we have Elvin, our intern here, the Voice of America. I brought them in the studio and to have a conversation about how internet has influenced their relationship or continues to influence their interpersonal relationships. I want to start off by asking you, how much time, first of all, do you spend online socializing?
I mean, if I'm not on my computer, on the internet, I have it on my phone, it's on my iPod. So I think a majority of my time, which is kind of sad to admit, is spent on some type of social media platform. Whether I'm talking to someone or just seeing what everyone else is talking about, it's more time than I'm happy to admit.
Okay. And what about you, Elvin? Do you spend a lot of time online?
Yeah, I spend plenty of time on my phone, you know, surfing the internet. Mm. First thing I do in the morning, read the news, check what's going on Facebook.
Okay. So what's going on Facebook? That's where your friends are, what your friends are up to.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know.
Have you found that the internet has made you lazier in terms of getting out and socializing with friends? Would younger people like you yourselves in the early 20s doing things differently when it comes to socializing? People are saying that you're getting lazier with time and that you would rather sit behind your cell phones or your computers instead of going out and meeting new friends and making friends and cultivating relationships.
Yeah, I would say I think the internet's kind of like a double-edged sword. I feel like my generation's a lot more informed and a lot more up to date with what's going on in the world because of the internet. Information comes to you a lot faster. But at the same time, like you said, now if I need to go see if a friend is around, I don't have to go knock on their door. I can just send them a tweet or a Facebook message and say, what are you doing? Like, it's not conducive to personal contact with people because you can just reach out to them much faster through the internet. So in that way, I think it's kind of...
But there are benefits to that too, Elvin, as in it's instantaneous that you can find out whether your friend is not doing well or if you want to check in on a friend. But on the other hand, your friend would probably have liked it if you went to their door, knocked and shook their hands and sat down and said hello.
For sure. There's a downside to the internet because you access things easily, you know. You can check your friend's Snapchat, see what they're doing. You're like, oh, they're fine, you know. So you don't have to actually
go
out
take
and
the time.
Initiate. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that laziness aspect of what this means to your relationships.
I mean, I know some people, not me personally, but they don't know how to like have a conversation in real life because they're so used to hiding behind a screen and having a conversation through that. You can kind of put up a front when you're on the phone
right.
or like on the computer. Then when you're talking to someone in person, it's kind of like, well, you talk so much online and you're not saying anything. So like, do you need to type something to me in order to have a conversation? Or like, should I go in the other room and send me a tweet?
And that's, you bring up a very interesting dynamic of people having different identities online and different personas altogether. You know, do you guys have different personas online? Do you present yourself online as different people? Because you probably live vicariously through the online personality.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Twitter. So I know in real life, I'm very like sarcastic and kind of like laid back and not as serious. And that is seen a lot more through online because like sometimes I just tweet whatever comes to my mind. And I'm like, would I have said that to someone in person? Probably not. But, you know, like, what are they going to do? But I could say I'm a lot more outgoing maybe on the internet than
much
in real life.
Much more courageous than when you stand.
Yeah.
Right. What about you, Elvin?
See, it's very different for me. Over the years, I've learned to pay attention to what my audience is.
Right.
React how they... I've had to kind of pay attention to how people react to the things I say. So I've had to, you know, make adjustments. I don't want to offend anyone. So I usually try to be very, it's me, but kind of politically correct. I can't just post things that I know some people are going to feel some type of way, you know, even though I would like to, you know, or I like some things and don't like other things because I know, you know.
Young lady over here doesn't think so.
I disagree. I think if I feel some way about something and I post it online, if I have the information and knowledge to back up why I feel that way, then I think online is a great way to kind of conduct conversation, have discussions about hot button issues. Like, you look at what's been going on in the world recently, online has had a big reason behind why these discussions are happening about these different issues. And I feel like if we didn't have that internet, people wouldn't have these conversations because they're afraid to have them in person sometimes.
Fast, I hit the wheel. You take the wheel, we lose control. Drop the top on that 69, that motor roaring, that old Chevelle. Can't say a thing, it's how you supposed to feel. Stacking all of this paper.
That is Dawit, Maya Dawit, and Elvin Sangano. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. We'll be back.
We made it. Back of the Phantom, we faded. All of the shit that I did, I probably won't remember tomorrow.
So on the show today, we have Maya Dawit, a student at the University of Maryland here in College Park. And we have also Elvin, our intern here, the Voice of America. Let's talk about then the dynamic between you and your parents when it comes to having conversations, interacting. Do they ever complain that you are too much online and that they have not been able to see, to connect with the Dawit or the Elvins personally?
Well, my mom's not very active on the internet, so she's complained about it. But I'm not so caught up on the internet. Like, I can put my phone aside. So it hasn't really affected my relationship so much.
Right.
Because I know when to, like, do it and when to.
Would you rather send her an email than make a phone call, for example?
I have her on text. So
you text her?
Yeah.
Right. So. For convenience, right?
Yep, for convenience.
But also because you're used to it as a form of communication.
Definitely. And it's easier, you know, because she's busy, so I don't want to bother her. And then she
That's
can
what
read.
You think. Have you had any complaints from...
Oh, yeah. My mom's favorite question to ask me is the hospital paging you because you're on the phone all the time. Like, are you a doctor? Like, get off the phone.
I like
is there
mom.
An emergency? Yeah, she's great. But, yeah, they think that I'm on my phone a lot more than I actually am. And maybe it just happens when I'm around them. But, like, my mom texts me all the time. So she knows sometimes I can't talk on the phone. I'm in class or something, so... That's a great way to communicate is through text. Like, my parents aren't on Facebook. They're not on Twitter or anything like that. Me and my dad are connected on LinkedIn, which is online.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I connect with them that way. But, like, yeah, she's always
professional, like, connection with your parents.
Exactly. But my mom is always like, what's going on my face? And I'm like, Mom, it's my space and Facebook. So there's that generational divide that happens, but I mean...
MySpace, that's a very nice
my little... MySpace,
maybe
yes.
That should be a next social
the next,
platform.
The next social platform
Your
invented by my mom.
Invented
MyFace.
MyFace.
Yes.
How do you see this going forward? You guys are going, obviously, you know, you're going to and have kids. How much do you see this influencing how you relate to your kids?
I kind of see it how, well, we, like you said, we come from a generation where... I'm still used to talking. Like, I had dinner with my parents every night growing up. So it's like having that conversation is something I'm used to. So I know we'll be able to bring that aspect of it to our future generation. But I think I see my little cousins who are, like, glued to their iPads now. And, like, they don't know how to have a conversation either. And they're, what, 13, 14 years old. So I think the generation after them is going to have a hard time not being completely connected at all times and, like, having interpersonal relationships. Because at least we still have that influence from... what our parents taught us a little,
right.
But two generations from now.
I think it's going to be a challenge, you know, because even for me, I still struggle to maintain, like, relationships and be on the phone. You know, there's all these group chats and all this stuff, you know, that connection you have with people. My mom lives in Africa, my sisters do, so we text, you know. I haven't, like, been with them in a room. For a long time, so it's...
I would love to be around 50 years from now and see how the interpersonal relationships between humankind are going to evolve. But I want to thank you, Dawit and Elvin, for being on the show today.
Thank you for
having
us.
And sharing your very interesting insights.
Now, studies show that young people who pursue their interests on the internet are more likely to be engaged in civic and political issues. They are also more likely to be exposed to people of diverse backgrounds. In many ways, the internet opens the world for people while giving them access to others they wouldn't necessarily have had contact with, either because they're from a different social background or geographical location. So again, so many times we hear that the internet makes the world such a much smaller space. You can now just at a click of a button, switching on your computer via WhatsApp on your cell phone, and immediately talk to someone across the world from you. And it's really quite an amazing experience. But because of this ease in meeting people, many argue that this generation isn't good at creating long-lasting and committed relationships, because it's really the foundation phase is so different to what it was 50 years ago, right, Jackson?
Nadia, people say that the worry is that there are many young people who are interested in learning about things on the internet, and they're so busy with it, it takes their time, it consumes them in so many ways that they sometimes don't even bother to develop meaningful relationships with other non-internet users. And so the worry is that this generation has less of a social life outside of their virtual confines of this platform. Kerry Williams is a young professional. He says that he has actually gone on the internet in search of friendships and has been able to go on a date a couple of times with people he's met in that virtual world.
I think the internet has made it much easier to reach out to a larger number of people at the same time. It also allows you to be more discerning in terms of who you choose to associate with. But the good thing is that you can know what you're getting into beforehand if you try to form associations online first, because you can be very specific in who you choose to reach out to.
So you have the ability to select and weed out.
Precisely, precisely. And you can, if you want, only add people to your inner circle who fit certain criteria.
Okay.
So it's useful in that sense, yes.
And when you meet somebody that on the internet, and how is that relationship opposed to, say, when you meet somebody personally? I'm talking in terms of commitment. Do you feel a sense of commitment to a person you met online on the same level as somebody you met physically?
I think it can be one and the same. There's not necessarily a difference just because of how you initially contacted each other. I think
it's how you build the relationship.
Right, precisely. I think one difference with meeting online is that because you've had a chance to kind of see the person, learn a little bit about the person, and see their photos and so on, you already have somewhat of an idea of what they're like. And so, therefore, you might go into an in-person meeting with you know, certain level of expectation based on that. If you try to form the same association in person, I think that it would take a little longer to get to know them, and you might go in with more of a clean slate, and that you don't know as much before you first initial.
But aren't you a little scared that you might, the person who is presenting themselves to you on the internet might be different, or whatever they're telling you is not really 100% about either how they look physically or just, you know, their character?
Right. There are horror stories like that out there. That's never happened to me personally, but I know that there are horror stories
We call them horror stories. They're that bad.
They can be. like I said, I don't have any personal horror stories.
Okay. So you've had a good experience so far. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Have you ever found a lasting relationship online?
You know, to be honest, I have not used it. I've met some nice people online, but I've never. It's only within the past maybe less than a year that I've really used the online route a whole lot. So I would say that at this point, it's...
So how has it worked out for you so far?
I'd say mixed results.
Mixed results, as in you've not really... Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work.
Precisely, precisely.
So have you met a girlfriend online?
Yeah, I would say that it has not, to this point, made it to where I've met a girlfriend and had, like, a long relationship with somebody. But there were situations I thought had potential didn't quite pan out as well. For the most part, it was, you know, meet somebody and you might go out once or twice, but then you realize that it's not really going anywhere.
Thank you very much for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sam in Johannesburg, South Africa. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. And if you have any questions or comments or want to contribute to the show in future, remember to send us an email at upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @UpfrontAfrica. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. On behalf of my colleague Nadia Sami, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye. Sakuru tisha wa kwechena.